the last landmark case, which I didn't win, but which is now in, I think, 2018, SEC reported, when the Chief Justice was Deepak Mishra, a bit timid, I think he was. And that was to say that this defamation law was brought into the records by the British. Now the British themselves have scrapped criminal defamation. And therefore, we must also scrap it, because in a democracy, to send somebody to jail for what he said, is not proper. United States never had, I think he may have it long years ago, I don't remember. But there, for long years, they don't have criminal defamation. India's, many African countries don't have criminal defamation, they've given it up. But in Singapore, which used to be one of the tightest and harshest, they have also given up criminal defamation. I think India should, but unfortunately, the BJP government had a shyster lawyer called Mukul Rohtgi and Jetli, who were basically sadists when it came to the defamation law. They used the defamation law to overpower people. So unfortunately, the climate wasn't ripe. And so I didn't win that case. And
the civil law of defamation, incidentally, is based entirely on English common law. In other words, there is no statute passed in India like a Defamation Act, whether before independence or after. So if you want to know about the rules of civil defamation law, then you will, for the most part, have to refer to English laws. Who can bring a defamation suit? The first thing to say in reply to that question is only the person whose reputation is damaged, not any relative, not any friend of his. This means that a defamation suit cannot be brought in relation to a dead person. In law, a person's reputation is deemed to die with him. I'm astonished at the number of times when people in India say that they are going to sue someone for a slight that was caused to their dead relative or even a dead role model, such as Gandhi.
Namaste, friends. Sunday, 8 p.m. and we are back with Gyan Ganga Words of Wisdom on our Virat Hindustan Sangam social media channels. And today we have a very interesting subject, and the topic is defamation law. Does it still serve its purpose? And we have with us Dr. Subramaniam Swami and Dr. Venkat Iyer, who will be discussing this issue for the next 45 minutes to an hour. Today is episode number 206, and it will be an interesting discussion on this subject. As you know, Dr. Venkat Iyer had been on our legal Gyan Ganga, and he had conducted 21 courses, which was on every Saturday on our program for the benefit of our legal people who wanted legal knowledge, and we had conducted 21 programs. Dr. Venkat Iyer is a barrister, and he is based in Northern Ireland, and he is attached to the School of Law there, and he teaches media law and constitutional law and business law. He has been a lawyer since 1981, and he is a trained mediator. And Dr. Iyer has lectured in several foreign universities and continues to be a visiting professor in several institutions across the globe. And he visits India virtually every month to teach at some institution or give lecture at some place or the other. He has been acted as a consultant to several government, private corporation and non-governmental organization, and also the government of Kenya, Bhutan and Vanuatu. and in 2003, 2004, and again in 2012, he was invited by the royal government of Bhutan to advise on and the draft of the media laws for the kingdom. Dr. Iyer runs training program in media laws and media ethics for newspapers and various government organizations. He also conducts courses for judges and magistrates in various jurisdictions. Sri Iyer is an author, Dr. Iyer is an author of several books and articles and the editor of two journals, The Commonwealth Lawyer and the Roundtable Commonwealth Journal of International Affairs, both published from London. We welcome him to our show. And with this, it is for the opening remarks of Dr. Subramaniam Swamy. And then we will hear Venkat Iyer on defamation law. Does it still serve its purpose? Over to Dr. Swamy.
Thank you, Jagdish. And hearty welcome to Venkat Iyer. First of all, I'd like to just give the framework in which we operate in India. We have a criminal defamation law, and based on the civil law, we have by the law of torts and so on, we have a civil defamation law also. In the criminal law, you can go to prison, and in civil law, of course, it's only paying damages. This is a broad distinction. And most countries are now abolished criminal law. United States, from a long, long time, has abolished criminal law. Britain just recently has abolished the criminal law, I think. Of course, many countries now have given up criminal law. They have just kept this civil defamation law. Now, in our law, the criminal law is based on the Indian Penal Code. And the Indian Penal Code was adopted in 1860. And as far as the defamation law is concerned, I have seen through the old IPC volumes, and I find there's been hardly any amendments made to keep up with the fact that we are now a democratic country and not a British colony. But the British colony law, as far as criminal law is concerned, is continuing. As far as the civil law is concerned, we did in 1973, bring a new civil procedure code. It's a much more updated thing. So what is the harassment that used to happen is that anybody can file. There was a time when anybody could file a criminal thing, even on behalf of the relatives, etc., etc. And they could file it in one place, and you live in another place, and the argument is, well, you gave it to the press in Delhi, but the edition in Madras also picked it up, or the PTI covered it. So you had to travel. There are also crazy things like in other countries. For example, Mr. Karthi Chidambaram has raised a defamation case against me in Singapore. He's a member of parliament in India. And the press conference I made about his corruption in the Aircel Maxis case was made in Delhi in a press conference. And on some pretext. Well, in that, I won it. I won it in the single judge. And I shouldn't have lost in the division bench, but I did. So now I'm before the Supreme Court. And I hope the matter will be, laid down. The law will be laid down afresh, so that in future people can't do these things of filing anywhere in that. Now, I would like to say that if you go to the criminal law, section 499 is the one that is there, and you can be arrested and sent to jail, convicted and sent to jail. Now, that's more or less precisely what the problem is with Rajiv Gandhi's, Rahul Gandhi's matter. And of course, the Supreme Court has given them a temporary stay. And so he's got a temporary relief. But it's a extraordinary in the sense that the maximum sentence is 2 years. And the maximum sentence in this thing, and you know, but the whether the maximum sentence should have been imposed or not, this is something that the Supreme Court should decide. I had in 2016 gone to the Supreme Court, and it is a huge report, 130 pages judgment, printed judgment, and the SEC volume 7 to 2016 carries from the pages of 221, and it goes up to 352. That's a judgment. It's a very comprehensive judgment. And there has been, although I personally feel that unfairly, the Advocate General, Attorney General of the BJP government, he took a very hard line that no, we need criminal law to continue, even though the law was actually instituted by the British, and the British have given up the criminal law. So we have not yet done that. Now we are more British than the British themselves. So this is a thing that has to be done, because you can't be sent to jail because you spoke something which was offensive. You can be sent to jail if you killed somebody or you raped somebody, those kinds of things, or you stole something. But to say that expressing an opinion, you should be sent to jail, I think it's totally against democracy. And therefore, this is a matter for which we have already been through a session with Venkataiah when he was last in India. But that was more in the procedural aspects of the defamation case. Now we are asking the more fundamental question, should we have a criminal defamation law at all? What are the safeguards which should be there? Now, you see, in this thing where Deepak Mishra was, the Justice Deepak Mishra, very fine man, but a little timid, he has said things which need to be incorporated and has not been incorporated. For example, so, we observe that it will be open to petitioners to challenge the issue of summons before High Court, either under Article 226. This is not there before. It has been introduced, and even today, most judges at the lower courts are not aware of this. It has been brought to 226 of the Constitution of India, or Section 482 CRPC, which is a quashing thing, you see, that you, if somebody files a defamation case, you don't have to submit to it. If you think it is ridiculous, you can go on to the High Court under Section 482 of the CRPC and say that this is a bogus case, and I shouldn't be asked to waste time, and so please quash it. And I've got a few of them done. In fact, the Jayalalitha, I always had this problem. She had filed a total of 126 defamation cases against me for anything and everything I said. Once I said, Jayalalitha is like a monkey who doesn't know. If you give a garland of flowers, it'll take it and rip it apart and throw it away. Or like a donkey, which will not be able to tell the kapoor. You know, in Tamil, we call it kalpuram, I think. It's thing. And of course, when I recited this in the Supreme Court, everybody laughed. And the chief justice, the head judge, that is the Justice Mishra, Deepak Mishra, he asked the advocate, which is it that you're objecting, to be called a monkey or donkey? You can't be raising both issues at the same time. So, I mean, this is the kind of ridiculous level to which politicians have used the defamation law. Now, I'm not going to comment essentially on Mr. Rahul Gandhi's per se thing, because it's before the Supreme Court. Let the Supreme Court pronounce it, and then we can take a call. But frankly speaking, the High Court gave the full 2 years punishment for making a joke about the name Modi. I personally think that is a bit excessive, even though there's no love lost between me and the Gandhi family. But still, I would like to see them, get it in the neck. But the fact is, the law is something where you set precedents, and therefore it's a... So, broadly speaking, therefore, I would request our friend Dr. Venkat Iyer. I've known him for years and years. He's always been one of the most balanced people. He's a great scholar in terms of reading, writing, and publishing. So I would like to ask him these questions. Number one, what is the present international standard there? I know that in the United States, they have even gone a step forward and said, and I've used it in Indian law, and it's been very helpful, but most people don't use it and don't know. United States said, if a public person, not only a politician, but a football player or a basketball player or a cinema star, any of these public persons, they sue for defamation, then they have to prove that a defamation has taken place. It's not for the defendant to say that no defamation has taken place, but the affected person has to prove that a defamation takes place. Now, I'll give you an example. Morarji Desai was called by a journalist that he was a CIA agent. So Morarji Desai, against my advice, but because his son was in a happy, trigger happy mood. So he went all the way to Chicago, where it was published originally, and filed a defamation case in America. And America, they have jury system. And in the jury system, a lot of people came to support Morarji Desai. Henry Kissinger even came on the stage and said, no, this is utter nonsense, and so on. And finally, the jury held that, for an American to call an Indian CIA agent, maybe a defamatory thing for an Indian, but for us Americans, we consider this as a badge of honor. What is wrong with being a CIA agent? And so the jury dismissed Mr. Morarji Desai's petition. So I mean, these are various. It's a real art to come for defamation cases, but we have to ensure that defamation cases are not filed by, especially what happens is some small person, he likes to file a defamation case against the big person, then it becomes a media matter. And then the media projects this fellow good-for-nothing chap and gives him a lot of status and everything. So a lot of these defamation cases, even if they lose, they gain public publicity. And therefore, we should try and discourage that. So these are various aspects. And I've taken up enough time to introduce. And we look forward to now Dr. Venkat Iyer to tell us on these various issues that have arisen partly out of Rahul Gandhi's present case, and also the general theory on which he's an expert. Tell us, what do you think it should be India's law? Should it be the same 1860 law, or should we now amend it in keeping with the international practice? Over to you, Venkataya.
Thank you, Swami. As always, you've been very generous in introducing me. And can I also take this opportunity to thank the others who are responsible for putting this together, Jagdish, Ramesh. I saw Arvind very briefly, but he seems to have disappeared, probably for technical reasons. I also want to thank the technical team, because they are the backbone of this program, which has gone from strength to strength. For me, it's a sort of Gar Wapsi. I've come back after a while, and it is, of course, a delight. Now, the question that's posed in the title of today's program is, does defamation law still serve its purpose? In very general terms, my answer to that question is that defamation laws in India are, despite many infirmities and blemishes, still fit for purpose, except in one important respect, which you, Swami, have already flagged, and that is the presence on the statute book of defamation as a crime. Since Swami has already spoken at some length about this issue, I plan to focus my attention on the civil law of defamation instead. I want to make it clear at the outset that I'm not remotely suggesting that everything is fine with the civil law of defamation, despite my cautiously positive opening statement. That statement relates essentially to the substantive law. I would hasten to add that I have serious concerns over the application and the interpretation of defamation law, both civil and criminal. I would argue that the problem is attributable largely to an insufficient understanding of the law by litigants, their legal advisors, and judges on an alarming scale. And this, I feel, should concern anyone who is interested in preserving and promoting the rule of law. The first thing I would say is that a tendency has developed in recent years for any unfavorable, embarrassing, or derogatory comment, indeed any negative comment about anyone, to be treated as a defamatory statement, and for people to rush to the court on that basis. Sadly, a disturbingly large number of judges have shown a willingness to entertain such cases. This unfortunate reality, therefore, points to a need, first of all, to understand what a defamatory statement is. It is, in the classic language of the law, any false statement which has the effect, or which has a tendency to, lower the reputation of an individual in the eyes of reasonable people. The actual phrase used is right-thinking members of society, but that antiquated phrase is likely to be misunderstood in present times. Further clarification is given by the law that a defamatory statement is one which may expose the targeted individual to hatred, ridicule, or contempt, which may cause him to be shunned, or which may injure him in his profession, business, or trade. So the first requirement is that the statement should be false. Secondly, the effect of it has to be judged through the eyes of a reasonable person. That is, someone who is not too sensitive or too laid back. Or to put it in more colloquial terms, someone who is not too thin-skinned or too thick-skinned. Thirdly, there has to be a degree of seriousness in terms of the impact of the statement. The law will not, as a rule, allow trivial cases to be litigated under the de minimis rule. That is to say, the law does not concern itself with trifles. It is important for the person complaining to prove to the satisfaction of the court that the statement in question refers to him. This means that those who are quick to take offense on the basis of general or ambiguous statements where they are not named and where no reasonable person will conclude that the statement is aimed at them cannot bring a suit for defamation. The law does, however, make allowances for certain situations where a person may not be explicitly named, but can be reasonably identified through what appears in the statement or by surrounding facts or circumstances. Now, I've referred a few times already to the reasonable person. What does it mean? In Anglo-Saxon law, this is a phrase which is used quite frequently. For all practical purposes, especially in countries like India, it means the judge. Until a few decades ago, defamation cases, even civil ones, used to be heard by juries. But that practice has all but disappeared. And in India, of course, juries are non-existent. This means that whatever impression may be formed on a reasonable person will necessarily be the impression formed by the judge who is hearing the case, which then leads us to a point which I cannot emphasize enough, and which, of course, I have made clear in my previous contributions to Gyan Ganga, namely the need for a strong, independent, efficient and well-resourced judiciary, which would consist of competent and sensible judges. Without this, you can kiss goodbye to all expectations of justice. Don't forget also that the law of defamation has certain rules contained within it to make the system manageable. One such rule is that only the person defamed can sue, not any representative or nominee of his. An important and, I would say, inescapable implication of this rule is that there cannot be defamation suits brought in respect of dead persons. I don't get the feeling that this point has sunk in enough among many people in India, because I frequently read reports that X or Y is planning to sue on the basis of alleged defamation suffered by a relative or a friend or a mentor or even a leader. If the law was properly enforced, such a suit cannot be entertained. Similarly, there cannot, under the civil law of defamation, be cases brought for alleged defamatory statements made against large, amorphous groups of people. But there have been many crackpots who have gone to court over statements like all lawyers are liars, especially when such statements are made in movies. A particularly outrageous aspect of some of these cases is that where lawyers played by famous actor, say Shah Rukh Khan, defamation suits are filed against Shah Rukh Khan with the imbecile plaintiffs not paying any heed to the blindingly obvious fact that he was merely enacting a role and cannot by any reasonable standard be held to share the view expressed by the character in question. Just imagine the number of hours, days and weeks wasted by such frivolous suits before they are inevitably dismissed. Even more scandalous is the practice of criminal complaints being filed in such circumstances, so that those at the receiving end of such complaints have to do the rounds of criminal courts, sometimes in distant parts of the country, as Swami very eloquently described. That then brings me to another major reform that is needed to cure the system of its present ills. This is a reform which would apply to all civil litigation because it has the potential to address very effectively, though not completely, the problem of backlogs in litigation. Currently, the Indian legal system has an absurd arrangement under which a losing party to a case bears no serious financial costs, except possibly the monies they have spent on their own lawyer and the pittance involved in filing and registration fees. What will really deter frivolous or even plainly unmeritorious litigation is a system followed in all countries that believe in fairness, under which the losing side to a suit will have to bear the actual cost of the winning side. I can guarantee that when such a system is put in place, the number of cases filed will drop dramatically. This is a reform which is not only desirable, but one which is supported by all standards of justice and fairness. For reasons which I've never been able to understand, there is absolutely no appetite to bring about such a reform, which is trying to be introduced. Finally, before I conclude, I want to say a word or two about criminal defamation, essentially to add to what Swami has already said. First of all, I warmly, enthusiastically, and wholeheartedly support Swami's efforts to have it decriminalized. I'm cognizant of the fact that those efforts failed a few years ago, but the loss is not Swami's, but India's. Without, I hope, striking a discordant note here, I would say that the dismissal of Swami's writ petition is by no means an unmitigated disaster, because I have held the view that major reforms such as deactivating statutory provisions should be the task of Parliament, not the courts. I know that under India's written constitution, the courts do have the power to strike down statutes or parts of statutes. So yes, technically, this is possible. But a neater and more principled approach, in my opinion, would be for Parliament to repeal the relevant sections of the Indian Penal Code so that defamation does not remain on the statute book as an offence and continues to cause so much misery to so many people. That is a route followed by law reformers around the world. As Swami has already mentioned, the UK got rid of criminal defamation through parliamentary action in 2009 through a law which was deceptively called the Coroners and Justice Act. Many other countries have followed suit, and it appears that the trend is becoming irreversible. Yeah. What it will need is a sustained campaign. There's bound to be resistance from some quarters, not least those politicians who have benefited from the use of criminal defamation to silence their opponents. But that is something we have to contend with. It is not unimaginable to see a sort of coalition of the willing coalescing around the repeal argument. In this, as in many causes, Swami has his work cut out for him, and we can only wish him Godspeed and more power to his elbow. Thank you.
Thanks, Venkataya. Very clearly said, but of course you confined yourself to the civil side. But now I'm going to drag you into the criminal side, which is perhaps the most disturbing aspect for most people.
Yep.
Number one, if I say a particular politician who is a minister is corrupt, then it is not necessary for the minister to come and file a defamation case, criminal defamation case.
Yes.
But under Section 197 of the CRPC,
yes,
the minister will be represented by the Advocate General or the Attorney General or the Solicitor General in court.
And for
somebody who's a minister or a secretary in the government and so on.
Yeah.
So if you were to want the government to be clean, and you find some something, you run into this thing that you have to spend all the money to defend the what is good for the country.
Yeah.
And the person who is suspecting this, he has the bureaucracy to come and argue it. Then there's a question of sanction also. You may not even get sanction for certain categories of people. So this whole system is loaded in favor of the people in power.
Yes.
And it is loaded against the ordinary people. This is point number one.
Yeah.
Second is, of course, you have very clearly said that you would also like the criminal defamation to go. And I'm looking for a way by which I can re-enter this debate again and say that this should be reviewed. And I'm working on that. So I'm not going to let go because we are a democratic country. We are a civil country. It's not like just now as we saw in Russia, somebody getting 9 years for just saying there's no democracy in the Soviet Union, you see. In fact, he's the leading opposition figure, and he's gone in now for a total of 29 years or something like that. And he jokingly said, I've got to see whether the punishment lasts longer or I last longer. So, yeah. I mean, it's a very pathetic thing to see someone who's talking in favor of democracy to have to suffer like this. But I'm not on that. We are only on India. And in India, this is an issue, a very important issue that we could give top priority to removing the criminal defamation. And I also think that in the civil defamation, there should be a easy provision, because right now it's very complicated, but easy provision for damages to be paid to the person who is the defendant in the civil case. Because in the civil case, the affected person is the plaintiff.
Yeah.
And he files the case, and so you were the defendant. He's dragged into it. So therefore, since money is, the court can impose a fine, and that fine should be something that should be easily available to the defendant. So these are 2 points. I would say now, I think Arvind has also arrived, if I'm right. And so our panel here, they will take over from what I have just said.
Okay. Do you want me to respond very quickly to the 2 points
you made? Go ahead, Venkat.
Right. So, I have, of course, wholeheartedly agreed with your suggestion that criminal defamation should go. Now, the inevitable logic of that is that when sections 499 and 500 get out of the statute book, either through legislative action or through the courts striking down those two sections, and I've made my preference clear, I would prefer it to be repealed by Parliament, but even if that doesn't happen, it's not a problem at all, as long as these two provisions cease to be active. Now, once that happens, then everything else that you described in terms of people going, whether they are powerful people or not, and to your point about politicians, I would also add a number of very evil builders or businessmen also misusing some of these provisions. Now, their actions will, of course, cease to have any traction. In fact, they won't be able to file such complaints because the sections don't exist, or at least they are not valid in law. So that is the first one. And of course, on the second point, as I was saying, the need for costs to be given to the defendant when the suit fails is paramount. It's about time the Indian system was cleansed to bring that very important and very sensible rule into play, The pity is that there doesn't seem to be any interest on the part of legal reformers to even think about it.
Venkat, I'll jump in. This is a question from one of the viewers. Again, you did mention during your brief talk.
Ramesh, defamation... can I just ask you a technical question before you proceed with your question?
Yeah.
On my screen, I'm not able to see anything. I can hear you well. Is there anything you can do at your end to fix that problem, or should I?
You're not able to see the other faces at all?
No, just two dark blank screens for me and me. So should I? Okay, I got it now. I can actually rebut. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, got
it. Go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. Okay, so the question is, you did talk about defaming people who are dead, right? You briefly spoke about it. So there is another case against Rahul Gandhi, and there are other incidences also that recently happened, that a guy on Twitter talked about Savitribai Phule in Maharashtra, and the Deputy Chief Minister goes on to the assembly and say this guy should be hanged. Without even talking about it, this is the Deputy Chief Minister who's making irresponsible statements that it should be hanged in the middle of the street kind of thing. Now, in Indian law, I mean, what is your interpretation of defaming dead people? Who is affected? He says, oh, many people, I know Savarkar was a big idol, I'm getting affected. Is that legally valid?
Right. It's a little complicated question. So let's start with the basics. The basics is that in the civil law of defamation, such people have no leg to stand on. It's completely clear. There's no difficulty with that. The problem lies with criminal law, because criminal law does allow for complaints to be filed for defamation in respect of dead people. But that has to be done with judiciousness. And also there's an onus on the magistrate who hears such cases, whether to accept them at all. What is the purpose in criminal law to allow such complaints to be filed? It is actually to prevent a law and order situation arising where, for example, you had somebody had made a speech very intemperately attacking a dead person, and that could lead to a law and order situation. Quite frankly, even that argument wouldn't work, because it is the state's duty to prevent law and order situations getting out of control. So they will have to first make sure that these unruly elements are not given a free hand. In very, very exceptional cases, it is possible to imagine that a complaint can be accepted. But I would still not advocate any consideration of such cases. And frankly, as we discussed earlier, the only lasting solution to this problem would be for the sections to be deactivated, either through repeal or through striking down of the courts. It has to be done soon. There is no other solution, because these crackpots will keep doing it all over again. And unfortunately, for every crackpot, there is an idiot judge. So you have a problem.
One other question quickly. There have been incidences that people are getting picked up, by the were trumped up charges by the police, and unfortunately they lose their name and face. So can somebody sue the police for trumped up charges and putting them in jail and losing their name?
Not for defamation, except in very, very serious cases of what are called malicious prosecution. But quite frankly, the onus would be so strong on the complainant that succeed in a defamation complaint under criminal law would be well nigh impossible. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it would be very difficult. Remember, in India, suing the police, I'm not talking about criminal cases, suing the police in civil courts itself is extremely difficult, in spite of the fact that the law allows it. It's possibly possible to use the law of torts. If you had a functioning legal system, many things are possible. The trouble is the Indian legal system is broken. Now, if you have to wait for 30 years for a civil suit to be heard, as is the case, for example, in Bombay, then what hope is there for people to get justice? And then, of course, the state also claims immunity for the actions of its officers, which in my mind is completely untenable. You'll have to give consideration to the facts of each case. What if there was blatant illegality on the part of a police officer? That police officer should be proceeded with, at least in civil law, and then made to pay damages. Quite frankly, the civil law was working then a lot of our problems would be behind us.
Okay. One last point before I... Go ahead, Jagdish. Go ahead.
Dr. Venkat, on your original question, which Ramesh asked, in fact, you can't see it on the screen. There were some people who said that somebody who's dead, a freedom fighter and all that, he is being defamed by a political leader in the country. And what action can be taken? You felt that perhaps defamation is not the action that will succeed ultimately in that type of a situation. But don't you think the state as a complainant and as a prosecuting authority, if it is reasonably satisfied that this type of statement is creating a law and order problem, they can take action under those provisions of the law rather than those people who are supporters of that patriot resorting to defamation cases. But the state can sue moto, take cognizance and file these cases to control law and order if it is going out of control.
Yeah. Okay. I'll start by making a point which is a very general one. And I want to make it very, very clear before I say what I want to say, that I'm not talking about Savarkar or anyone else. You know, it is a simple point that one man's freedom fighter is another man's terrorist. Okay. So let us keep that in mind. And secondly, you know, I did not say that a criminal complaint will not succeed in such circumstances. Sadly, it will. I say sadly because it should not. But what is really the problem is this. There is a lot of hypersensitivity on the part of a lot of people on both sides, right and left. So we need as a society to become a little more mature. Okay, if somebody criticizes and criticizes strongly a dead leader, one way of responding would be simply to ignore that person, in which case he or she will not get any traction, they will disappear. The other would actually be to take him or her on and have a vigorous debate to say that what you're saying is absolute rubbish. Why don't we engage in the merits of the argument? That is not happening. And in those circumstances, what will ultimately happen is that the level of sensitivity to such remarks will keep on increasing until a time when even the mildest statement will cause needless offense. I think that's wrong. We're going down the wrong direction.
Anecdotally, Venkat, in the United States, 24 states still have criminal defamation laws. 24.
Yes. Yeah.
Anecdotally.
27, I think, have abolished it. So your figure seems to be about right.
24 so far. Even now, 24 states still have, even though none of them hold water, even though they have the laws, the First Amendment kind of trumps everything else. I mean, it's and you're right. I don't think there is any recent cases, I mean, off late, that I think we lost Venkat. So, Dr. Swami, do you want to have, do you want to say anything on the earlier question?
I want to say two things. First of all, in the United States, there is a provision that if a famous person...
Sorry, for some reason, I got disconnected.
Go ahead, Dr. Swami.
If a famous person, such as a person who's in political life, a football player, cinema star, if they were to file a defamation case, then the onus is on them to prove that they have been defamed.
Correct.
But also to prove that there was actual malice.
Actual malice. That is, it was a, it, you knew actual malice is unbelievable. That you knew that what you are saying in defamation is false, and yet knowing that it was false, yet you, I mean, the person has to make the other side show that he knew that it was false, and having known it is false, still he made the defamatory remark.
There's also another caveat. If the guy, if a comedian says that on a stage, even if he knew it was wrong, that is exempt. They can't sue him for defamation. A comedian or in a talk show, I make a joke about the president of the United States, call him an idiot.
Yes.
I mean, whether he's an idiot or not, he cannot be sued.
Now, that's one. Number two, even in this judgment which went against me, where I essentially wanted the criminal definition to be deleted.
Deleted.
I agree. But he said, the judge, the bench said, as we declare the provisions of the defamation to be constitutional, we observe it will be open to the petitioners to challenge the issue of summons before the High Court, either under Article 22, 26 of the Constitution or Section 482 of the CRPC. Now, you see, what happens is the summons comes. And then sometimes the police guys come to deliver the summons. People get nervous. Then they are told that within 10 days you have to come to court and make an appearance. People are too afraid. Yeah. But what this has done is liberated you. You don't have to. If you can, within those 10 days, go to the High Court, either on an Article 226 basis,
yeah,
or even 32. And or through 482 of the Criminal Procedure Code for quashing the. Now, I have quashed so many defamation cases. I haven't lost a defamation case so far. And I mean, I've lost that part where I want the amendment of the defamation case, but the defamation cases have been for. Filed against me by Jethmalani, and he made it five times. He filed defamation case against me. He lost all five, and finally apologized to the court, saying that I don't want to fight with Swami anymore. I want to be his friend. So then Ramkrishna Hegde, Atal Bihari Vajpayee. I mean, I have all these big names. They have filed a defamation case against me and lost. But there are also small nitwits who want to get some prominence. They go and file a case. But of course, I have to go to court on that. But I usually find that they have done a sloppy job. So I go under 482 or 226 to get it quashed. So, I mean, I wouldn't say that we have moved. We have moved a step. But frankly, as you put it very clearly, Venkat, that criminal defamation is not ever can be a part of a democratic society.
Yeah, but you also have sued. In fact, you have threatened a defamation against people. I think it was Sanjay Jha who said that you're a CIA agent. have actually. Court not necessarily won it in the court of law, but at least, you know, people know.
No, I went to the court of law, I filed the thing, and then he issued a statement saying that he apologizes and withdraws that remark. And so then I couldn't proceed further because the court said, you know, there's nothing to go forward once he has said this. The other thing is United Nations Under Secretary General, he made a defamatory statement against me.
Correct.
And I sent them a legal notice. And the Secretary General called him and fired him. He was removed from his job. So, I mean, it is possible that once your reputation starts growing, that you will fight back. Then it's unlikely that people will file defamation cases.
Venkat, you were saying something.
Okay, yeah, I just wanted to respond to Swami. First of all, to say that, you know, what you said about Deepak Mishra's remarks are undoubtedly helpful, but they are at best sticking plaster. What you need is root and branch removal of sections 499 and 500. And on the second point, you're absolutely right. The difficulty is not everybody would have the knowledge, the wherewithal, the courage, the resources like you to challenge these summonses. So that is a problem. Think about the ordinary person. Just, as you yourself said, they get intimidated the moment the policeman arrives at their doorstep. They get very scared. And in those circumstances, they can't think about Article 226 to Section 98 or to the Criminal Procedure Code.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, absolutely
Arvind,
right.
Arvind, do you have a question? I think you're
yeah. Yeah, here he is.
Okay. Unmute yourself, Arvind. Unmute. Sorry. Unmute. Yes, go ahead.
I joined the program very late and therefore I missed a very large part of the program. But I had a question on back of my mind and I thought there was just once when I get the opportunity, I'll ask this. In India, most of the defamation cases, civil or criminal, they've been filed by individuals against individuals only. Now, we have a several steps of judicial process. Now, if a person who has been pronounced guilty by a lower court and thus defamed, if the higher court absolves him and saying that the court had mistakenly given him punishment, whether the person can go against the court for defamation. And similarly, some viewer was asking about police. Maybe this will also apply to the police, because if the police department has falsely accused somebody and by defaming that, by virtue of that, the person is defamed. And once the person is not pronounced not guilty by a higher court, can this person can go against police department or a lower judiciary?
Arvind, the short answer to your first question is that because of judicial...
Well, let me add a jump in then. Actually, it's a question of the material. If the anyway, let him come and explain it. And he's back. Yes, go ahead.
Just to complete what I'm saying, because of judicial immunity, it is not possible to file a criminal complaint of defamation or even launch a civil suit of defamation on a judge. The only way you can bring a judge to heel is through appeal. And of course, in extreme cases, to actually have him disciplined in a very minor way, because short of impeachment, there's no real...
Dr. Swami is having... I think Venkat has some technical... You can go ahead, Dr. Swami. Go ahead with your point, Dr. Swami.
No, the issue is basically... there is a procedure in the civil procedure code, in the civil procedure code, to sue somebody after he has, it's called vexatious litigation. You can sue somebody, but not in the same proceedings. It'll have to be a
separate case to be launched.
But not against a judicial officer, Dr. Swami. If
you can show bias that he willfully framed you, you can. But if you say that the court said no, the evidence you gave was not sufficient, and therefore we are dismissing your case, then you can't. It's a question of your bona fide. If you have bona fide come with a matter, there was some material, but it was not sufficient material, he can get away. But if there is a clear case of a malice, and that there is a Bhajan Lal case of the Supreme Court where this has been laid down, and yes, you can under certain circumstances, but that'll be very rare.
Dr. Swami, one other question for you. Even though you've handled from the criminal defamation standpoint, is it easier for the court to strike it down, or is it easier for the parliament to take it away?
No, the court, you mean, yes, if you the court can show that criminal defamation law is actually against the one of the fundamental rights in the Constitution. And then it can be struck down. Otherwise, it will have to be by Parliament.
So Venkat's system is frozen. So he's going to try to reboot and restart otherwise. But we are almost towards the end of the program, Dr. Swami.
Anyway. Yeah, it's almost 9 o'clock.
Arvindji, you can conclude. Jagdish, do you have any questions for Dr. Swami, or we can conclude?
No, nothing. Let Arvind conclude.
No, I don't have much question because since I did not participate in that program. Yes.
No.
Thank you, Dr. Swami. I thank Dr. Venkat Iyer also because he has appeared in our program after a long time. And our viewers were benefited by his advice when he along with Dr. Subramanian Swami, had a series of Nyaya Gyan Ganga. And we had that series on Saturdays. And this topic is very, very important. Dr. Swami has been raising this in court many a time. Of course, there has been some coincidence, like Arvind Kejriwal and Rahul Gandhi was also raising the same issue in the court, which Dr. Swami had upon a time raising.
They impleaded in my case.
They impleaded in your case. Correct. So there has been this shows the importance of this case, defamation. And as Dr. Swami has been advocating for a long, long time about criminal defamation, it is right time for us to rethink over this issue. Thank you, Dr. Swami, for joining this episode and raising this issue once again for the benefit of our viewers. I thank Dr. Venkat Iyer for having spared time after a long time on this important issue. Thanks, Jagdish Shetty. Thanks, Ramesh Swami, and the technical team led by Ashish Shetty, Gadgi Rakesh, Ishwar Iyer, Tejas Naval Gul, Swaminathan, Vishal Mehta, and Najesh Nair. This is an important topic, and we keep on taking important topics like this every Sunday. So next Sunday, we will be meeting again at 8 p.m. with Dr. Subramanian Swami in 207th episode of Words of Wisdom, Gyan Ganga. Till then, Namaskar, Jai Hind.
Jai Hind.
Jai Hind.
Jai Hind.